Welcome to the latest edition of the Registers of Scotland podcast. I'm Roman Smith and I'll be today's podcast host as we look back at what ROS has accomplished over the past year. Today, I'll be joined by Jennifer Henderson, Keeper at Registers of Scotland, to look back over ROS's year and review the many new services, improvements and initiatives that ROS has undertaken in the past 12 months. We began the year by fully reopening our registers and continuing the digital registration journey, which we'd accelerated so rapidly in 2020. Jennifer, could you tell us a little bit more about ROS's priorities in digital registration in the past year?
Absolutely, Roman. And I think one of the reflections I have when I think back about shutting the office in 2020 and having to close the application record was making sure we would never be in that position again. And so, yeah, part of our response to the global health emergency was thinking, how do we make ourselves more resilient as an organisation? And I think we've done a number of things this year in terms of delivering different digital ways of working that have moved our registration services into being much more resilient. And one of them is something that I think will be pretty much invisible to our customers, which is moving registration services into the cloud. So I can talk a little bit more about that, but I think the other thing I really want to highlight that we've managed to achieve this year is reopen all our registers. So again, customers actually, again, hardly would have noticed this happened, but getting to the point where we could declare the application record fully reopen earlier this year, everything was back up and running, I think was a real, real achievement and a testament to an awful lot of hard work from colleagues, but also a fantastic amount of collaboration and support from customers to get us to that point. That was a huge, huge milestone for us. But yeah, I just want to expand a little bit about what we've done in moving to the cloud. So it really is about resilience, but it's also about security. It's about consolidating our digital estate, moving from a position where we have lots of on-premise stuff that we need to worry about maintaining to being able to rely on our cloud provider to do that. It will, over the lifetime of how we work in that way, it will mean it costs us less to sustain those digital services. And if people are interested in knowing more about what we did in our journey to the cloud, we had some blog articles earlier this year, which we'll put a link to, where our head of IT services gives a really comprehensive overview. And I'm really proud of this work because it was pretty novel for us to think about how do we go to the cloud? How do we make sure that's safe, secure, that we've thought it all through? And I think our work is a really good example of how to do that work. So I hope other organisations can benefit from looking at how we went on that journey and learn something as they go forward on their cloud journeys.
Thanks, Jennifer. But it's not just the behind-the-scenes technological changes that have taken place in registration, right?
Oh, absolutely not. And I think the thing that customers will have seen this year is our newest digital registration offering, Register Land and Property, which launched in June. And it's the next step on from digital submission. So if you think back to 2020, we launched our digital submission system and customers were delighted. They were like, this is fantastic. Instead of having to send you post, I can send you things digitally. And we were always saying, oh, just wait, you know, much more exciting things are on the horizon. So, and Register Land and Property is the next stage in that. And that is really about moving from effectively collecting digital versions of paper to genuinely collecting structured data. So when our customers are submitting applications to us, that is about them being able to use our systems to create their application so that when they submit it, we've got all the data. It accelerates the speed with which we can process that application. It reduces the possibility of errors being introduced as the application moves into our systems and so on. The other thing I would highlight is, as we always work, this has been a really customer-led improvement process. So we had a vision of what we wanted to do. We've worked really closely with a really wide section of our customer community to design and build and develop those systems. And then once we launch them, to take that continuous feedback cycle about what else do customers want it to be able to do. So new features, and I'm going to not do them justice by naming all of them, I'm sure I'm not, but things like support for our deep plan approval submissions, support for multiple advance notices coming in at the same time, and lots of other things where customers have just said, oh, it would just work a bit better if you could do it like this. And we've been really responsive. And I guess the other thing I would highlight in terms of digital that we've done this year, which, you know, again, won't necessarily be visible to customers, is continuing to work internally about how our colleagues use all these digital systems when, for the most part, everybody continues to remain remote. I mean, it, you know, when we build and bring in a new system for our customers, there's a huge adaptation for our colleagues to learn how to work with that system and to use all the functionality that that system gives us internally. So we've also done that, and that's something I'm very proud of. And I'm really, really proud of customers and colleagues for just adapting so brilliantly to this new way of working. You think over dozens of years, hundreds of years, the way people submit applications to the land register was basically the same. And in the space of less than 2 years, we have completely transformed it, and it's better for everyone.
So turning from our digital registration journey, the past year's also been a year of digital change for our stakeholder engagement, with a year packed full of virtual events. Could you pick out a few highlights for us, Jennifer?
It's really interesting. It's a really good question, Roman, because I, you know, used to love being able to travel out around Scotland, having that kind of face-to-face interaction with our customers. And when the pandemic hit and when we had to stop doing that, I was really worried that we would lose our ability to connect with our customers. But absolute credit to the events team at ROS, who just picked up and the baton and went, nope, we can deliver a fantastic virtual experience for our customers. It's going to be just as good as that in-person connection. So I got right on with it. I mean, we ran a series of regional workshops, which started at the tail end of 2020 and finished in early in 2021. And those were the things where we used to go out around the country and we were able to offer a sort of bespoke workshop that reflected the issues in a particular area. Well, we just did that virtually. We had all the information to say, if you're in this area, this is the workshop to come to, and we'll be discussing issues that are relevant to you. And just a quick plug, we're going to be bringing those kind of focus workshops back early in 2022. We're going to be calling them the policy and practice workshops, and they'll be picking up on particular things where customers have said to us, we'd really like a deeper dive on this issue about how we interact with the registration process. So look out for those. And again, the other fantastic thing about offering those kind of regional workshops virtually is it just stops anyone having to have travelled to come to them, because some of the geographical regions are quite big. And I was well aware when we used to go out and do them in person, customers potentially would have travelled quite a long way to attend. This makes it just easy for people to get, you know, as useful an experience without moving away from their desk. The other highlights, I guess, I would pick up, we ran our first public annual report and accounts launch event and a Q&A session. So previously we would publish our annual report and accounts and we could see on our website a number of people had downloaded it and read it. But we thought, can we do more to provide that kind of opportunity for people to hold us to account for our performance in the previous year? So we ran an event. I was really pleased. We got a diverse set of people, customers, solicitors, but also customers as citizens signing up. Got some really good questions. I was, and you'll know this, Roman, you helped me do my first ever live Twitter chat as a way of kind of providing a different way of a vehicle for people to ask us questions. And if people missed that event, the recording is available on the ROS website. So if you want to hear that discussion and the questions that were addressed, that's still there. And please do have a read of our annual report and accounts for last financial year as well. The other thing that I think we did that I was really pleased with in that virtual event space was we hosted a conference in June 2021. And
what we wanted to focus on, the kind of what we, it was called the Future of Conveyancing Conference, and we wanted to focus on what was coming down the track, not just for registration and how digital would transform registration, but how the broader conveyancing sector could be changed by what's coming along. Because it was virtual, not only did we have fantastic attendance from all around Scotland, but we were able to get international speakers talking about how these kind of things work differently in other jurisdictions. We got colleagues in who represent some of the way things are done in Australia. We got a colleague in who represents how things are done in Estonia. And I think that was really insightful for the Sign of Scotland community to hear about how things are done differently. We had experts in on how things work in Scotland at the moment and some of the legal changes that are coming down the track. And again, just a plug, all the presentations and talks are now available to view on demand. And I would highly recommend, they are worthwhile viewing, because it was really thought-provoking and has actually spun off from that a really good discussion with customers about how we're going to take forward electronic signatures within the context of land registration in Scotland. So directly out of the conference, that we've set up a qualified electronic signature working group, and that is a collaboration between Registers of Scotland, the Law Society of Scotland, and interested parties from the wider Scottish conveyancing community. There's a blog about it, and if you've missed all of this and you think, actually I should be in on that, you can get in touch with events@ros.gov.uk to get involved in the working group, because it's a great example for me of a challenge where we all are in agreement that getting to the point where qualified electronic signatures can be used within the process, the conveyancing process, the registration process, is going to be a good outcome, but it's not something that any one party within the system can solve on their own. So it's a brilliant example of coming together collaboratively to go, let's crack this problem and let's get something up and running that's really going to work. But actually, I think it will be the first of a number of things that will come out from that Future of Conveyancing Conference to say, there, you know, once we've done that, what's the next step of something we'd like to think about how we can make work differently? It's so exciting just looking at the next few years ahead and thinking about the transformation that will be possible across the whole of how conveyancing and registration works to give a better, slicker, more efficient service to the end customer. It's just a very, very exciting time to be involved in all of this.
As Jennifer said, watch this space for more virtual events coming in 2022. You can find all our event information on our website or by signing up to our mailing list. It really has been a year of great technological change, but moving from external engagement to internal engagement for the moment. How has ROS invested in its staff and services to maintain its high service standards?
I always say, Roman, when I'm talking to people, that ROS would be nothing without its people. It's the reason Invest in Our People is one of our strategic objectives, because we won't be delivering our other strategic objectives without really competent, skilled people sitting behind them. We invest a lot of time, energy and effort, therefore, as a result, in making ROS a great place to work, supporting the development of our people and so on and so forth. And I think we've had a real emphasis in the last year and a half on the wellbeing aspect. We've recognised it's been an incredibly challenging time for colleagues, and we've wanted to really look after people and support them so that in turn they can give their very best to the organisation. We've put a lot of effort into supporting our direct people managers. I'm always a believer that people largely turn up to work inspired by their individual manager. So we've put a lot of effort into developing our people managers in the year. And I'm just really delighted that all that hard work has got external recognition. So ROS participates in something called Investors in People, which is an external accreditation for, well, clues in the title, how do organisations invest in their people? And we've had a 3-year plan, actually, to try and achieve an upgraded level of certification there. And we did it this year. We got our gold standard accreditation. And that's an external assessor coming in, looking at lots and lots of evidence, a sort of really comprehensive audit, lots of interviews with colleagues to decide that we are meeting that external standard of gold for how we invest in our people. So huge thank you to everyone in ROS who's been involved in delivering that. But I think also we've had other things where we've invested in our services, and the external recognition for that really promotes great internal engagement. So just by way of an example, our digital submission service was recognised at the Scottish Legal Technology Awards. It got the Technology Award at the Scottish Legal Awards. And what I'm so pleased about is so many people in ROS put their heart and soul into delivering that system. And that kind of external recognition is just the icing on the cake for people to know that, yeah, not only does delivering that system has it enabled us to keep functioning and delivering to our customers, but the quality of the work they've done has really had that recognition. And that's such a huge motivator. And then just to call out something else that I think is a really good example of something we've achieved this year. So we've been putting a lot of effort into thinking about how do we become an even more equal, diverse and inclusive organisation? How do we make sure that every single colleague who works for us has the very best day they can possibly have at work? And within that, one of the things we've been doing is supporting people who have caring responsibilities who work for us. And interestingly, I think in the last year and a half, a lot more people have picked up some level of caring responsibilities in terms of supporting friends, family, neighbours through the pandemic. We've got a very active carers network within ROS, and they've been given, or we've been given, but really their hard work has got us the carer positive recognition by Carer Scotland, which says we are an organisation that recognises and supports carers within our workforce to be able to balance work and caring responsibilities. And I think we're looking more generally with all of the different things we support in relation to diversity. Are we doing enough? And where might external accreditation be a way of validating and verifying that we are meeting the standards we're aspiring to get to? So just a few things to pick out, I guess, in terms of stuff we've done around supporting colleagues, motivating colleagues, and really helping people within ROS feel proud of the work they do for the people of Scotland.
Thank you, Jennifer, for picking out those highlights there. That's quite a full year, and we've covered it all very rapidly. But before we have to end the podcast, what is coming up for ROS in 2022?
I'm always sort of, the end of the year is such a good time to reflect, isn't it? You're so head down through the year delivering. And I think I would really say that the things we've picked out in this podcast are just the sort of tip of the iceberg in terms of everything we've done as an organisation this year. And I'm sure the things I'm about to call out for 2022 are the tip of the iceberg of what we will achieve next year. I think next year is another exciting year. It's another challenging year. The things I guess I would really want to highlight for folks who are listening to this is I absolutely recognise that one of the most fundamental things we need to do as an organisation is keep pace with the amount of work coming in through the door and clear the small backlog we have. And I think we've been working very hard, actually, since the pandemic hit to get back on track with getting rid of the backlog. And we will be bringing in a number of new colleagues to support that, training them up, developing them. And that will allow us to create more capacity to really once and for all get on top of that. So I'm excited about that. It's been something ever since I became keeper that we've been talking about needing to get on top of. We were getting there. The pandemic understandably derailed that for a bit, but this is next year is going to be the year when we get back on top of that. The other thing I'm excited about for next year is we've been working really hard in the background to think about what's the most efficient way for us to deliver the benefits from completing the land register. So we're very clear that, you know, there are two fundamental things everybody wants out of completing the land register. The first is about smooth and slick transactions when a property transacts. And the second is those big macro questions around answering who owns Scotland. The smooth and slick transactions, that's absolutely coming. We get first registrations onto the register. We develop our digital systems, and they mean that we can turn around new cases super fast when people buy and sell property. But answering that bigger who owns Scotland question, we've been thinking about how we make more use of the data we still hold in Sazines and our unlocking Sazines work, which we are doing to try and match up sazine information with spatial information is motoring along now. Again, there are blogs where people can read what we're doing there, and it is absolutely going to get us there where we can answer that who owns Scotland question and provide that transparency that I think the people of Scotland are looking at or looking for in relation to answering that question. So if I was going to call out the sort of two big customer facing things that will be kind of really coming into their own next year, it would be those things. But I'd also want to emphasize continuing to push forward on our digital systems. You know, I want to be here in a year's time signaling the next stage in those customer facing digital systems and all the systems that sit behind them within ROS so we can work really efficiently. I think the other thing that I'm excited about in the year ahead is I really hope it will be the year that as an organisation we can achieve the vision of how we want to work in a hybrid way. You know, we were all in the office before the pandemic. We've pretty much all been at home for most of the pandemic. We've got a small number of people in the office where there's no other option to deliver the work than that way. But we've absolutely seen the opportunity that that blended approach to work will deliver, enabling us to give a better service to our customers. So I feel like 2022 will be the year when we can really realise that vision and do an even better job for our customers, which, you know, ending on that point, I guess, which is the number one thing I want to make sure we continue to do in the year ahead is deliver a better and better service for our customers. One of the absolute highlights for me this year has been achieving our highest ever customer satisfaction score, but I don't want to rest until every customer is satisfied with the service they get from ROS, and the things that are coming up in the year ahead are part of helping deliver that.
Thank you, Jennifer. Another really exciting year ahead at ROS. That was a whistle-stop tour of what ROS has been up to this year. I hope that this has given our listeners an insight into how we work and maybe brought something you missed in the past 12 months to your attention. All the links to blogs, webinars and videos can be found in the podcast description, and I encourage you to take a look. Thank you to our keeper and CEO, Jennifer Henderson, and to all of you for listening. I hope you tune in again in 2022 to see where ROS is going next. Please subscribe to our podcast at anchor.fm/registers of Scotland. This podcast is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. Thank you for listening.